Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast of Making Inspired Choices with Coach Linda. I'm your host, Linda Stevens-Jones, and I'm delighted that you've tuned in today. Happy May to everyone out there, and I hope you are enjoying a beautiful spring inside and out. Today, if you're looking for some encouragement and thought-provoking conversation to help you move your life forward, you're in the right place. If you're listening for the first time, welcome, and thanks for tuning in. This show is broadcast twice a month on the first and third Tuesdays at 12 noon Eastern. And I'm happy to have you for every broadcast in this community of encouragement and uplift. We all need encouragement and uplift sometime. Here, you will be accepted right where you are, with support and without any judgment. If you're listening to this broadcast as a replay sometime after 12 noon on May 2nd, greetings to you, and thanks for making time to tune in to the replay of the broadcast. Last night, I had a unique opportunity that I simply must acknowledge on the air today. I was one of a few hundred guests at the Mark and Brenda Moore Family Foundation's reception and concert held at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. The event launched Mark's new book, A Stroke of Faith. It was an amazing evening of praise music by the Antioch Gospel Choir and a truly memorable fellowship. I'd encourage all of you to pick up a copy of Mark's book, A Stroke of Faith. It's actually him sharing his phenomenal journey through and recovery from a major stroke. Thank you, Mark and Brenda, for your generosity and just an amazing, memorable night. I also want to send a big shout out of thanks to my last guest, Reverend Mike Coppedge, Associate Pastor of Missions and Outreach at the Antioch Baptist Church. His take on overcoming obstacles is definitely worth a listen on replay if you missed it. Or you can also download the Making Inspired Choices with Coach Linda, episode number 35. That's episode number 35 on iTunes. Just go to podcast and you can download it for free. And now for today's topic, finding contentment. Let's first get at the notion of what contentment even means. I did a quickie survey with my friends, and I got lots of great responses when I asked them how they define contentment. I want to share a few of them with you. Ritza said, walking in peace with yourself, trusting and having faith in God. Clarinice said, it's being comfortable with who I am and whose I am, knowing that with Him, all things are possible. Marve said, fully trusting that God loves me and wants what's best for me. I love that. Joe said, contentment is peace with God and your surroundings, your relationships and environment. Lisa said, contentment is knowing that I am loved unconditionally by God and there's nothing I can do to make Him stop. Destiny shared, contentment is making sure the bills are paid and the kids are taken care of, not feeling guilty when I do something for myself. living simply and trusting God's grace and provisions for my life. Another friend, Cheryl, shared, contentment is walking away from her job and returning home to care for her 95-year-old mom who has dementia. And lastly, Grace said, contentment is simplicity, reducing her needs, living a simple life, eating less, picking one skill, and becoming a master in your career. So, what is contentment for you? Is it acquiring something that you don't have? Doing something you haven't done? Making a certain decision? Or is it a state of being? Would you be content only if you are debt-free or if you have a close relationship with the Lord? Is contentment reaching your ideal weight? In whatever way you define it, are you living in contentment today, or are you searching for contentment? If you're searching, where are you searching? What do you sense will give you the contentment you desire? As a coach, you know I've got a few ideas to share. When I meditated on this topic of finding contentment, I defined it this way. Contentment is a mindset when you accept that there is a sovereign God in control and you release your struggle or angst about whether things change or not. That's what came to me as a definition of contentment. So with that said, I have four steps that I want to share to finding contentment that I really believe can be helpful. Recognize your general struggle or angst in life. Let's get real here. What usually makes you discontent? What bothers you so that you are not in contentment? Is it comparing what others have to what you have? Do you tend to rehash things that have happened in the past or kind of live in regret that certain things did happen or certain things did not happen? Do you worry about what could go wrong in life? See what I mean about your struggle or your angst? First, you've got to identify it. Step two is, choose to release or let go of the struggle in your mind and spirit. Choose to let it go. How, you may ask? That's step three. Decide what contentment looks like and begin practicing being content. My how example might be, when you start reliving regrets or making comparisons to others or feeling old fears or wishing your life were different, what if you right then decided to count your blessings instead? What would that feel like? If just when you start to work yourself up with whatever your angst is, you change and decide to count your blessings. Hey, you can choose to shift your focus away from what you don't have to what is working, to what you are blessed with. And I know that takes some practice, but try it. And final step is most essential to finding contentment, and that is, be prayerful. Be prayerful. You can take your cares and struggles to the Lord. Ask Him to release you from those struggles and angst in your life. Did you know you can begin each day by asking Him to keep you in a spirit of contentment, no matter what the day brings? I'll leave you with a quote that I love. And this, to me, is kind of a paradigm shift toward finding contentment. Contentment doesn't mean that you desire nothing or do not want change in your life, but rather, it's a simple decision to be happy with what you have. I'm going to just repeat that quote. Contentment doesn't mean you desire nothing or you want no changes in your life, but rather, it's a simple decision to be happy with what you have. It's right back to what I said earlier. It's what you choose to focus on, your blessings or your struggles. I'm going to stop right there. But, of course, I want to hear your thoughts about finding contentment when we take calls a little later in the show. Right now, it's time to introduce my special guest who will weigh in on this topic. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor to have as my guest today, Mr. Dale Fletcher. After graduating from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, Dale enjoyed serving in the Army for 20 years as an officer. As part of his Army career, Dale served as an initial course director of the Master Fitness Trainer course. During his four-year assignment at the Army Fitness School, while at the fitness school, he received a Master's of Science in Physical Education with an adult emphasis from Indiana University. He was also blessed to receive training at the Cooper Fitness Institute in Dallas, Texas. And he achieved his fitness instructor certification from the American College of Sports Medicine. Dale's last military assignment was to the Army Physical Fitness Research Institute at the U.S. Army War College, where he served as the senior fitness instructor and executive officer. His fitness-related assignments and graduate degree prepared him to retire from the Army in 1993 and enter the corporate wellness arena. He then spent 8 years as a health educator and wellness coordinator at Pinnacle Healthcare System in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where he delivered wellness programs to local corporations, the public, and 5,000 employees. Among other duties, Dale developed and administered a very successful multidisciplinary weight management program that involved a dietitian, psychotherapist, and exercise specialist. In 2001, Dale was selected to help launch a world-class, state-of-the-art hospital-based fitness center in Doylestown Hospital in Warrington, Pennsylvania, as their initial fitness director. The 34,000-square-foot center included a swimming pool, physical therapy, and cardiac rehab facilities. Dale relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina in 2002 to assume responsibilities as the health and wellness director for the 15,000-member Harris YMCA, a position he held for 3 years. In late 2005, he founded his own ministry, Faith and Health Connection, to teach and inspire people to apply biblical truths to live healthier and more abundant lives. The ministry's website has over 540 pages of content-rich material, and serves over 70,000 visitors a month. The ministry also trains and equips faith and health ambassadors to lead the Pathway to Wholeness Bible study at local churches. Dale uses Twitter, Google+, and Facebook to provide daily inspirational messages and teachings to those he is connected with. He blogs on the health blog for the Christian Post and is a professional member of the Christian Coaches Network. Dale is also the vice president of the Christian Coach Institute, educate, equip, and encourage Christian coaches around the world. A follower of Jesus Christ, Dale has worshiped in many church settings over the years. He is a born-again, non-denominational, evangelical Christian. Dale currently resides south of Charlotte with his wife, Janice. He is a proud dad of four young adults and has a love of the outdoors and enjoys running and working out to stay in shape and manage his stress. Dale, welcome to the Making Inspired Choices radio show. It's such a pleasure to have you as my guest.
Hey, Linda. Good afternoon. It's a joy for me to be included on your show today. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. As you know, the show was created to reach out to listeners who may be going through a challenge or who may not feel accepted or understood where they are. We are here to offer hope and encouragement, and I know that your sharing today will definitely impact our audience in a positive way. So let's jump right in. Tell us a little about where you grew up and what your growing up was like.
Well, Linda, I grew up in a military family as one of five children to a dad who served 30 years in the Army and my mom. So we moved around every two or three years. I lived in the states of Georgia and Kansas and Washington State and Virginia and Idaho. I think I forgot to put Alaska on there. After graduating from college, as your introduction indicated, I spent 20 years in active duty service as an Army officer. So, again, moved around every 3 to 4 years in various assignments. One of my most unique assignments was my very first assignment in West Germany in 1974. Our unit's responsibility was to guard the East German border there on West Germany should the East Germans come across and invade, West Germany. So that was a really, a real-time kind of mission there, and that was a very gratifying work. And so I attended Army chaplains as a kid and as an Army officer, and I had mainly exposure to Protestant services and denominations. In a nutshell, that's kind of what my life was as a young child and in my early adulthood.
Okay. I like to ask guests, what is something not in your bio that you'd like for us to know about you?
Well, a fun story I like to tell, kind of humorous. My dad relocated from Alaska at the end of my seventh grade into Atlanta, Georgia, where we spent 3 years in Atlanta. So, as often, if you can think back, you and I are kind of the close age at that time, and maybe they still do today. The first day of school, the teacher says, "Well, what did you do during the summer?" And so, being new to that school and to those kids, I said, "Well, this summer I rode with my dad and my family from Alaska to Atlanta because he was in the Army and we relocated. And they all looked at me and said, "What was life like in Alaska?" And so I was kind of a mischievous young boy. I still have a little bit of that in me. And I said, "Well, in Alaska, we lived in an igloo." And they said, "No, you really did?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "We went to school in a really big igloo, that just kind of like this classroom here, but it was an ice igloo, and we just had extension cords from the generators that lit up the igloo and everything else." And they really got a kick out of that, and I got a kick out of telling that story. So that's what I would share with you. Of course, I'm not telling you that I actually lived in an igloo and went to school in an igloo, but that's something not in my bio that I shared with my fellow eighth graders at the time.
I know you were the cat's meow then with the people wanting to hear more about how you stayed warm in the igloo in class.
Exactly.
Dale, tell us a few of your core values that guide your life today.
Oh, well, right off the bat, I can name a few. My faith, my relationship with God. I desire that my faith and the Christian faith specifically and biblical truths just guide how I live and the choices that I make. So I'd rank that number one value in my life. Another value that I hold really deep and strongly is a family. So as you know, I'm married to my wife, Janice, and between the two of us, we have four young adults, and each of those have a significant person in their life, and so family and the family unit is very important to me. Both Janice and I try to stay connected to our siblings and to kind of do what we can to foster, you know, family and family cohesion. So that's another value that's important. Maybe two more I'd share with you. I think over the years I've appreciated the importance of truth and knowing truth and living by truth, Linda. It's funny, I could share a story. My oldest son, Drew, came to faith probably in his early 30s, late 20s. I don't exactly remember the year, but he had lived with me for a year before he really accepted Jesus as his Savior, and then moved out of the house and went to school. And after about 6 months away, he called me one day and he said, "Dad, I have a question for you." I said, "What's that, Drew?" He said, "What is the single belief that most impacts how you live your life?" And I thought, wow, that's a pretty profound question. I'd never thought of that before. And at that time, I didn't have a single belief that I felt most impact how I live my life. I said, "Drew, I think you're probably asking that question for a reason. Do you have one?" And so this 30-year-old, you know, says to me, "Dad, I'm choosing to believe that the Bible is truth. And because I believe that the Bible is truth, it helps me understand what truth is in all areas of the rest of my life." And I thought, wow, how profound. And so...
Yeah, he went deep.
Yeah, he did. And without much hesitation, I've embraced that belief as the single belief that most impacts how my life looks like. At least I try to make it look like and live by God's truth that we find in His Word.
Amen.
And so the last one maybe I would share with you that comes right off the top of my head is the value of my health and well-being. You know, spirit, mind, body, wellness. I believe our own personal health and well-being is a resource that enables us to live life in a way that glorifies God. And so we can't underestimate, and I try not to underestimate, the significance of caring for my health the best that I can. So those are four values that I'd share with you.
That tells us so much about you and how you live. I've learned that when I hear a guest's core values, we just really understand your core. So thank you for sharing those. With the work life that you have now and looking back over your military career, you know, and these profound values, tell us one of your most impactful memories, just something that comes to mind that's kind of affected the course of your life.
You know, you provided me with a set of questions beforehand, and this is one that I kind of struggled with. I know I have a lot of memories, and it was hard for me to really appreciate, you know, that the key word there to me is impactful memories. And boy, I don't know that if I have one that really hits the nail on the head that meets that description. So a memory I will share is you know, a part of the bio indicated that I had a wonderful opportunity to be the initial course director of the Master Fitness Trainer course in the Army Fitness School. That was back in the mid-80s. That role and the responsibility there and the opportunity I had to pull together a curriculum and some talented instructors and develop a four-week program to lead and teach Army fitness trainers how to conduct fitness programming that was more scientific than it had been done over the years. I think that opportunity, that's a memory that I hold deep and value, because it made a difference in a lot of people's lives. I'm told that over 10,000 master fitness trainers had been trained, and I'm sure that since 1984 the curriculum has been modified and tweaked and matured. Mm-hmm. But to know that I helped head up a team that made that contribution was an important memory for you. And the kind of a two-part, the second thing that made that really memorable for me was the team of people that we had. We worked hard and we played hard. They were talented individuals and spouses and family members that that made up that team. So it was just a kind of exciting time and an important time, 3 years of 20 of the Army career years that I spent that made a difference. And that's what we're called to do, right? Make a difference for God and for people who live. And I think that we were able to do that with that memory I've shared with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, even if the curriculum has changed, I'm sure there's something of the framework that you began that still pulses through all of those people who've been trained since. So that's quite a wide ripple effect.
Yeah.
Well, tell us something about Faith and Health Connection. And I will share with the audience here, I know Dale Fletcher through the Christian Coach Institute, where I trained to be a certified Christian life coach. So, Dale, just tell us some about your dual hats today.
Well, as indicated in your introduction, in 2005, I left the YMCA that I was working at. I just felt God calling me to actually, you don't know this story, Linda. While I was at the YMCA, I got exposed to health coaching and this concept of a coach, how we could empower people to make decisions and choices and help them discover their own solutions to specifically kind of their health and maybe their health shortcomings. And so my vision was, wow, this is a YMCA. It's a Christian organization. I wanted to figure out a way that I could incorporate and maybe train up a cadre of kind of mature individuals and call them maybe spirit, mind, body health coaches. Mm-hmm. So I was able to be trained in a curriculum actually out of Canada, health promotion and kind of a lifestyle coach, if you will, with a kind of a wellness focus. And my thought was that we could kind of tweak that and develop a process where we could do that at the YMCA setting. And that never was able to get off the ground. And I felt God, you know, inspiring me and calling me to go deeper in this arena. So I felt I could do that more effectively through making my own kind of decisions and creating such a mechanism for that. So that was kind of the background of establishing the Faith and Health Connection Ministry. And wow. I've been at that for 10 years now. Yeah. In that ministry, I just feel, I think the mission statement is basically teaching biblical truths for health and wholeness. My perspective on wholeness, Linda, is that we're not going to be completely whole until we get to heaven someday. You know, we have a frail body. The writer Paul, you know, talks about having mortal bodies that are kind of groaning and kind of wasting away. So we have these bodies. We have a soul and personality that I think will always be imperfect this side of heaven. We have a spirit that, you know, is impacted by, for Christians, the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we can go a pretty long way of becoming more like Jesus on this side of heaven, but we're not going to be perfectly well or whole until we get to heaven with a new body and a completely well spirit and soul, if you will. But on this side of heaven, we can kind of have a goal is to attain the greatest degree of wholeness that we can, and that's the mission of the Faith and Health Connection Ministry, teaching biblical truths on how to do that. Yeah.
That sounds amazing in terms of the potential reach.
Well, it's an unlimited reach, really, because we're all broken and we all probably have, in some manner or fashion, a desire to be a little bit more whole in each of those areas in our life. So
yes.
I began to create a program called Healthy Choices at the church that I was attending about 8 years ago, and that eventually morphed from a 2 to a 4 to a now published 8-week Bible study or 10-week Bible study called Pathway to Wholeness, and that is available for individuals to be schooled in and trained in through the Faith and Health Ambassador course. I've trained close to 100 faith and health ambassadors over these last 6 years. In fact, we're going to start another program 2 days from now on Thursday night. We have 11 people throughout the United States that are going to attend this kind of a virtual training and equipping to become faith and health ambassadors. So that's a key part of the ministry. And the other key part of that, Linda, is the content on the website through the blog post that God's inspired me to write and the static pages, you know, some months there are over 85,000 people that land on the website. So I know that God hopefully is using this ministry and the truths associated with it that are there documented on the website to help people with aspects of their well-being.
And do people come, Dale, with, are they drawn to it, do you think, because it's biblically based? Are they drawn to it searching for just another perspective about increasing their wellness? What do you sense draws people to it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Hands down, the top landing pages that people are searching the internet for are scriptures on health and well-being, scriptures on encouragement, scriptures on healing, scriptures on wholeness. So whether they're Christians or not, they are looking for verses. The greatest majority, I would say probably 30% of the traffic lands on those pages that have a list of scriptures associated with those related topics. So that's how we would answer your question.
I see. That's very interesting to know that searching is going on, looking for the deeper, more profound truths of the unchanging Word of God for those kind of topics. And say a word, if you will, because, you know, it's one of my change the trajectory of my chapter after retirement. Say a word about your work with the Christian Coach Institute also.
Yeah, that's the other hat that I wear. As you mentioned, Janice, my wife, founded that program and is the president of Christian Coach Institute, where they've trained about over 500 professional coaches now using a Christian faith-based model. My role in that organization is primarily a support and operational role. So I've been given, I think, the gift of teaching, and so I teach people these biblical truths in the Faith and Health Connection ministry. But the other gift that God's given me is one of administration and organization and information management. So I do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work with managing our customer relations database and the delivery of the marketing materials through emails and the website and the automation that occurs there. That's how I primarily support Janice and her staff and the participants of her program.
Okay, wonderful. Well, your behind-the-scenes work with the Christian Coach Institute certainly makes it hum, because everything comes together so beautifully through CCI. So let me just say thank you for how you manage all of those behind-the-scenes details so that it's seamless for those of us who go through that program. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Janice's gifting is relationship building, and she has a gifting of teaching and training too. So she's the expert in terms of the competencies of professional coaching and building the community. So, yeah, hopefully the work that I do frees her up to be more engaged in the areas that she's gifted in so that she doesn't have to worry about the stuff that I do.
Absolutely. That is very evident. Dale, I'd love to hear, I can't believe we're already, in May of 2017, so second quarter is already in the middle. What are you most heavily focused on as you look to the rest of this year?
Well, there are three things that I have as a focus. One was, to be even more effective with the administration and the organization of how we do things at Christian Coach Institute. Again, I think the more effective that I can be, the more effective systems and processes and managing the information that we manage, the better job I do that, the easier it makes Janice's job and the staff, her administrative assistants, her director of training. It just makes that job easier for them, and they can reach more people and train others more effectively. So that's, in general, one focus area that I have. I feel that God is calling me to, maybe on a monthly basis or on a quarterly basis, conduct kind of topical workshops on this overall subject of faith and health. And so I think that by the end of this year, I would like to begin to, on a regular basis, put out not my standard workshop that I do, but just different topics that are related to this area. As an example, the significance of forgiveness and how bitterness and unforgiveness can impact a person's well-being. That's just as an example. And a variety of workshops that can go deeper into some individual topics like that. So that's the second goal.
That example is big. Forgiveness is a big one.
Yeah, it is, for sure. And then the third goal I have is more of a personal goal. I guess it's related to how I do the Faith and Health Connection ministry, but I was sharing with a couple of coaches last night on a coaching lab that we had about a month and a half ago. I felt God in my quiet time and some devotionals that I read that he's calling me to be more intentional about serving the least and the lost, the people who maybe have had fractured lives, the poor, maybe the extremely unhealthy, not only physically but spiritually unhealthy. Just dig deeper and to make myself more available and more intentional about serving people who would fall into that category. That is a goal that I have for this year.
That is so beautiful. that touches my heart, and I'm sure others listening, one, about being intentional about it, and then reaching out to people who may be forgotten otherwise or may not have anyone trying to seek them out and give them support, those who are feeling lost, who are lost in Christ, but also people who may have just had some fractures and fallen on hard times, so to speak. So I appreciate that you're having that as a focus for the rest of the year, Dale. Let me say, you know, we're talking with the audience, or I've been talking with the audience about finding contentment today. I know that some people are living in contentment, but some are searching for it, and it feels pretty elusive in our, you know, just day-to-day hectic pace. I'd love to hear how you view contentment, what it means in your life.
You know, in preparing for this, I did some internet searches, and in one brief definition of contentment, it suggests that contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction.
Okay.
To me, though, contentment, you mentioned this word a few times in some of the descriptions and some of the way people described contentment. A key word for me is peace. So the absence of anxiousness, the absence of worry, a deep, deep inner peace. It's funny, I reflected in these last few days, probably, 25 years ago, one of the very first little public talks that I ever gave in a Bible study was my search for inner peace. That was the name of the topic. I still have my notes somewhere here. Yes. Yes, and at that time I was a baby infant Christian, and trying to figure out what does inner peace mean to me, and how does a person achieve inner peace. And so I've wrapped my arms around it a little bit better now. Doesn't mean that I live, you know, fully contented, but to me, if we're at peace and extremely satisfied, then I am content. And let me unpack that for a second. Satisfaction to me means not having things and not living a certain way, and that circumstances are okay. I am learning that when I desire what God desires, and if my heart is focused and geared to God's will for my life, the more that I have a sensing and believe and can rest in my sensing that's my pure desire, then I feel contented. Then I feel at peace. Then I am strong during the storms of life and things. And so to me, that's what Paul learned, to be content. I think the scripture, Philippians 4:11, says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I think he could say that, Linda, because he surrendered his life to God. And and he surrendered his will and his choices. He probably said every day, God, have your way with me and show me your ways. And so I am learning that when I can have that attitude, you talked earlier about a mindset, when I can have that mindset and live by that mindset, then I can be at peace. And to me, that's what contentment is.
Beautiful reflection there. Audience, don't you just feel Dale's peace and contentment? I mean, I'm feeling it over the airwaves that you live in that. striving and moving in the direction of desiring more of what God desires. You know, one thing that came to me last night, actually, that I didn't mention when I talked about releasing or letting go of the angst and struggles is there is quite a surrender that has to happen. So I greatly appreciate what you shared there. I think the lack of contentment. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dale.
No, I interrupted you. Go ahead. I just finished that and let me comment. Yeah.
I was just going to say it's the lack of contentment comes from holding these things that have bothered us or the struggle or the angst, some with a common theme throughout our lives, that we are holding and wrestling with those things instead of letting them go and surrendering, shifting our focus away from those things as the main things going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead with your thought.
I don't want to mislead you or the audience. I haven't arrived at living in contentment that the way Paul seemingly did, but that's the desire of my heart. And so I think when we, a big part of this is, I think that's a key secret to living in contentment. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that we're always able to do that and I'm always able to be contented, but I believe I know the secret to being content according to God's biblical truth. And so by knowing, I believe, truth there as it relates to contentment, it gives me a roadmap on how to go about tasting a bit of contentment anyway.
Yes. Yes, I hear you. You know, I think the real juncture is being able to have peace and contentment when we've faced or when we are facing major life trials. And I always like to give the guest an opportunity to tell the audience about a season, a current season or a past season, when you've walked through a storm in your life. You know, how you persevered, and in light of, as you just shared, you're not always at contentment, but that's what you're seeking. Would you share a time when you've walked through, you know, major challenge or difficulty and how you persevered through it?
Be happy to, Linda. You know, I reached into one of the documents that I wrote. It was an article I wrote in the Charlotte Weekly kind of newspaper. I've got it here in front of me. It's dated June the 29th, 2007. And the title, interestingly enough, of this short article is Faith is an Anchor in Health Storm. So, in 2006, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Okay.
I'm hearing some background noise there. It's gone. Can you hear me okay, Linda?
Okay. Uh-huh. I hear you fine.
Yeah. Okay. And basically, in 2006, with that diagnosis of prostate cancer, it really, I really had a choice to make. How am I going to handle this, right? And my choice was to lean into God and to His promises and to turn to Him for strength. 3 weeks before I was to have an elected prostatectomy to remove my prostate because the cancer cells were seemingly pretty close to the edge of the prostate, and we didn't want them to spread. 3 weeks before my surgery time, I had what I thought to be an extreme case of laryngitis, Well, I was referred to an ENT specialist, and I learned that I had a paralyzed vocal cord. And undoubtedly, in my opinion, the stress associated with this diagnosis of prostate cancer probably contributed to stressors. And I like to say nothing happens in isolation, spirit, mind, and body. So my mind and my spirit was probably troubled by the prostate cancer to some degree, and it manifested in some paralyzed vocal cords. So during that time, I was able to make a choice, and I chose, actually, you know, before this health storm came into my life, I had chosen, you know, I'm going to turn to God to manage the stressors of my life. And so that's what I did. I'd love to read you this short two or three sentences of a blog that I a blog post that I did on this topic. It reads this way: "This series of events has brought me even closer to God, for sure. I've been reading more about how God heals people. I have been very intentional," there's that word intention again, "about trying to be in His presence, to be as close to Him as possible. It's during times like this that I have experienced the loving touch of God. I realize that I have a choice, a free will, to turn to God and be with Him more, or to turn away from Him and try to do this on my own. I've chosen the first path, and I know I have been better off for it." So, you know, like a boat's anchor firmly and, you know, helps a boat stay firmly in place before a storm arises in the ocean, my faith was an anchor that that helped me. That reminds me of a verse in Matthew, I think, where Jesus talks about the importance of building on a strong foundation. You know, he says, "But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the storms come, basically, and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse." But he says, anyone who builds a house on solid rock, he's talking about himself, even though the rains and storms come, it won't collapse because it's built on a bedrock.
Absolutely.
So that's briefly a storm in my life. It happened to be a health storm where my faith and it was intentional. And to me, one of the lessons learned was, in reflecting upon this, is that, again, I had already decided, you know, as life...
Beforehand,
as life comes at me and the stressors of life, my faith is what I'm going to turn to. And so when any storm comes, because I've made a choice deep in my will beforehand, that's an automatic response to the stressors and storms of life.
Amen, amen. There's no more proactive way to deal with what challenges come our way than to already be geared up in faith. I like that. If you could think of, though, back at that time, even given that you were already proactively leaning into the Lord and to your faith, when you had the prostate cancer diagnosis and then paralyzed vocal cords shortly thereafter, what posed the greatest challenge during that time, would you say?
You know something, Linda, this is another question that you had asked before this interview today, and I struggled, what's the answer to that question? And maybe the answer I need to give is, I don't think there was a major struggle. I don't know how to answer that question. And praise God, I trusted in Him. He was my resource. I wasn't afraid. I just leaned into Him, and family came around me, And, you know, I just prayed, His will be done. And I was able to rest in that. And I, again, praise God that I think I can answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to identify what, I'm sure there were obstacles, but they mm-hmm. weren't a significant obstacle that I can speak to and relate to.
Amen. Well, absolutely praise the Lord about that. Because in some cases, we find just the ongoing dialogue in our head of the worry or something is such a challenge that, you know, we are distracted from being able to lean into the Lord. So that's awesome that you did not have anything that was hindering your being able to just lean into your faith. I want to ask you, clearly audience has heard you proclaim how much faith is a center in your life. I want to ask you to just say a little more overall about the difference that faith makes in your life.
Gosh, where do we go with that? You know, again, I think it starts with, I can't trust a God that I don't know. Well, let me back up. As part of the Faith and Health Ambassador Equipping Program and the Pathway to Wholeness Program, I share a model that I read about that was developed by Warren Wiersbe. It's not so much a model. It's just that his secrets for living a full life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the secret to living a full life is living a life of fruit, right? Having joy, okay. Having peace, bringing others to salvation,
mm-hmm.
experiencing the abundant life that comes from living a faith-filled life.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he said the key to having fruit is living in God's presence. And the key
Amen.
To living in God's presence and enjoying His presence and having the power and the strength and the ability to make choices that, you know, provide fruit, the secret of doing that is trusting God. But we can't trust mm-hmm. a God that we don't know, so the secret to trusting God is knowing God. And the secret and in that mix is loving God. And so it starts with really knowing God. And so that takes us back to, if the Bible is truth, which I believe it is, and I hold
mm-hmm.
that to be my most important value
mm-hmm.
and belief, then we turn and I turn to the truths of the Bible to guide me in how to live a life that has fruit. Because our purpose is to glorify God in this life. And if I can have that perspective and that mindset, then it changes everything. It's a filter from which I can make, hopefully, choices in my life and how to respond to the stressors and storms of life. And so well, the other thing I would say to talk a little bit more about, you know, what faith looks like in my life is,
mm-hmm.
Linda, the last 2 or 3 years, probably one of the key focuses of my life in terms of my faith and how I try to practice my faith and live out my faith is, to me, I believe the secret to living a life that glorifies God for a Christian is to be living a life that's guided by and empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives within me.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, Scripture makes that clear. The Apostle Paul, in many of his books of the Bible, makes that clear. How do we live life that glorifies God? And we can only do it by the Spirit of God that lives within us, to the way that He is most fully glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And again, back to, you know, what I mentioned before, I think that one of the key to living a life of peace and contentment is living a life surrendered to God's ways and to Him. And one of the secrets to me that I am learning and trying to practice, I guess, is the way is what does a surrendered life look like? How do I trust that if I live a surrendered life, that this miracle of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, trusting that He will live through me. Paul says in his scriptures, when I am weak, I am strong. So when I am weak, Dale Fletcher's flesh is weak and his mind, the more that I am able to recognize that I want to try to live life not from Dale's strengthness but my weakness, that opens the door for the Spirit of God to live more powerfully through my life. And it's actually Jesus, His power, God, His power, the Holy Spirit power. He's the one that has the power. It's not me being powerful. It's a hard concept maybe to wrap our arms around, but it's the Spirit of God that's actually doing things and empowering me to speak the way I speak and to respond to life's storms and stresses the way I respond.
Amen, Dale. Christ is where the power is, and He dwells in the form of the Holy Spirit and those of us who have accepted Him. You've hit some really powerful points with regard to this discussion on contentment and that leaning into the Lord. And I wrote down your note on, we can't trust a God we don't know. So trusting Him is first beginning with knowing Him. Thank you for being so open and just letting us see how you are living, how you are striving to live. I believe it's giving our listeners quite a bit to reflect upon. So now to our listeners, I want to give you a chance to join our conversation. How are you finding contentment in your life? Or you may want to talk about what's going on that feels like an impossible situation to you right now. We are here to listen and support you. So right now, I invite you to call into the show. Dale and I would love to hear from you. To join us with your comments or questions, call us at 1-646-716-9397. That's 1-646-716-9397. I'm going to ask you some more questions, Dale, as we wait to see if we have any callers. You referenced the scripture in Philippians earlier, and many are familiar with this scripture. Philippians 4, 12, verses 12 and 13 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Would you just say what comes to mind, Dale, when you think of that scripture?
Well, Linda, I guess I would maybe reiterate the comments that I made before. When I read that scripture, it's not me living life. I mean, that's my desire, is to have the Holy Spirit be the strength. He takes control. It's a mystery how that happens, right? Jesus says, remain in me, for apart from me you can do nothing. No thing. Nothing worth value in God's kingdom can be done unless we stay connected to Jesus. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, they're one, they're God. So to me, the secret of it is going to Jesus and come to me. Mm-hmm. And Matthew 11:28-30 says, you know, if you're heavy burdened, if you're weary, come to me. I will give you rest.
Yes.
And so the more I recognize and am aware of my connection to Jesus, my belief that the Holy Spirit will empower me, mm-hmm. and remain in that mindset and that attitude of trusting and surrender, that opens the door for the Holy Spirit's power to be power in my life.
To be manifested, huh?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so mm-hmm. this attitude of surrender, the attitude of mindset, just trusting that God's in control and I'm not, that as long as mm-hmm. I can maintain that attitude, and that's not easy. I'm not saying that I've perfected mm-hmm. this, but mm-hmm. the truth of the Bible, some of the truths that I've shared here through these scriptures, that's the goal, and those are the secrets to living a life of contentment. And I think the more we desire to live that kind of a lifestyle, the more sensitive God makes our spirit to the Holy Spirit, the more mm-hmm. surrendered that He enables us to be. And again, it's all about perspective, I think, that... and the choices that we can continually make. I've heard it said that we make 10,000 choices a day. I mean, my goodness. The
yes.
words I'm speaking right now, to some degree, I'm choosing what words that I'm saying. But
mm-hmm.
there's lots of opportunities that we have to make choices. And the mm-hmm. more that our mind is directed towards God and His truths and His ways, and the more surrendered that we are, it just opens the door for Jesus's power, the Holy Spirit's power, to be the force, if you will, that
mm-hmm.
determines the choices that we make and the words that we speak.
Amen. Amen, Dale. We have a caller on the line. Caller at 715. Area code 416 prefix. Press 1 and you're on live with us.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I am a certified health coach. And
oh.
Yeah. I have always been interested in health, and I've been going more and more into the Bible, and everything Dale said and you've said is a part of my heart. Actually, a couple of years ago, the Lord told me one afternoon, sitting in my room at the computer, He wanted me to become a health coach. And I'm like, what is a health coach? You know? And then He also told me to get my passport, which I have not obeyed on, and I am working on it now. So I don't know what that's
okay.
about. But I have put off health coaching, actually, because I wanted to bring the Christian aspect into it. I wanted it to, because it is important, you know, that you have it, you know, your heart and your mind and your soul. Everything works together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have looked at the school, and then I think of things of God's gifts when something appears like this came on my computer, and it's like, okay, this is a gift I need to listen to. So I'm wondering.
Oh, okay.
I
Go ahead.
Feel little gifts from God. Anyway,
yes.
He said in 2 days the schooling starts, and is online, correct?
Are you referring, and tell me your name, please.
Vicky.
Yeah.
My name
Vicky.
Is Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky.
Okay, Vicky.
Nice to speak with you. The Faith and Health Ambassador course is the kind of the train-the-trainer course that
mm-hmm.
teaches these 42 biblical principles for health and well-being, and it it guides people through the Pathway to Wholeness Bible study content, and they experience that. Yes, that course begins on Thursday night. And again, that's not the Christian coach, professional life coach course that Janice leads.
Right.
I'm sure that we're talking about the course that you're referring to. Yes.
Well, I was thinking probably the health one due to the fact I've already got my certification in the health. Now I want to put the biblical teachings with it.
Yes.
And is that what you would recommend, the ambassador course then?
Yes. Yep, it sounds like it. If you have the competencies of coaching competencies and your arms are wrapped around that a little bit, out of the 10 sessions of this program, the Pathway to Wholeness program, 8 of those 10 sessions deal with biblical truths and spiritual kind of health-related issues as it relates to a person's physical health and well-being. Vicki, if you would like to contact me, you know, offline, I may be happy to answer other questions you have, but I don't know if it's practical for you to join this class that begins in 2 days. We can talk a little bit more in detail about what that would entail to get you up to speed and actually to be able to be a participant in this program. I'm not sure it's realistic, but we can explore that more further with
Vicki,
the phone call.
I have your number, and I'll connect you and Dale after the show. Okay.
I also want to confirm exactly peace, contentment. It's laying down your life. I love this quote. I want to just say, it's let go, lay it down, and leave it. That's one of the most important things, is to leave it, not go back and pick it up again.
Yes.
That's very important.
Amen.
It's something I've been really working on. So I did want to share that. Okay, I thank you, and you continue with your program. I'm really enjoying it.
I am so glad you were able to tune in, and I will touch base with you after the broadcast with Dale's contact info, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, Vicki.
God bless. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
You know, Dale, it's really interesting that I think you exemplified that tie between your health, your well-being, your sense of wholeness to a large degree with the tie to living the biblical truth. I love that, and it sounds to me like the caller, that really resonated with our caller as well. Let me just give out the number again if there's anyone else who'd like to get in on our conversation. Please call us at 1-646-716-9397. We are welcoming anyone who has another comment or question. While we're waiting, Dale, I definitely want to ask you, you know, we are speaking as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I. What if you were sitting down with one of our listeners who says to you, I'm not a person of faith. I don't even know how to begin to have faith in Christ. You know, I want contentment in my life. I've tried everything. I just don't know how to begin a relationship with Christ. What would you tell them?
I would say a few things. I would say one thing is that my experience is that life is tough. Life is messy. Life is full of stressors. It's that way because Adam and Eve sinned thousands of years ago, and because of that, we live in a world that just has turned upside down and in all aspects. And so life is tough. And the only way, and God designed us, spirit, soul, and body. He created us in such a marvelous way that to even have a any kind of hope of living life the way he wants us to live and the experience life that he wants us to live, he has to be part of it. Our Creator has to be part of it. When I talk about spirit, mind, body, health, and I would say to the individual that God created us as a spirit, and he has given us a personality and a soul, and a mind, will, and emotions, and we live out that personality and in a physical body. But at the core, we are spirits, and we have spiritual needs. And some of the greatest spiritual needs we have are to be loved, to be accepted, to have a sense of worth, to have a sense of peace. You know, many of you know, like that caller said, peace. And the only way we can have true deep peace is to know the God who created us, who is the giver of peace. So life is too tough to live without being in a relationship with the Creator who created us each. My prayers for an individual would be that allow yourself to be humbled, allow yourself to be broken to the point that you recognize you're not able to live life and to meet your needs and to have the peace that you desire apart from receiving that from the God of the Bible. And Jesus, and we can't, and the Bible makes it clear, we can't have that peace, we can't know the God of the Bible without believing that Jesus died so that we can have a relationship. The Bible makes it clear. Jesus says, I am the only way to the Father. And so our Creator, the God of the Bible, comes through believing that Jesus died so that we can have a relationship with the God of the Bible. So it starts there, recognizing our deep brokenness and that we can't patch up our relationship issues, we can't patch up our addictions, we can't patch up our deep desire for understanding our life purpose unless we do it through a relationship with God.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Audience, I hope out there listening. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dale.
I was going to say, and I'll offer up, if people desire, to have a conversation with me about what that would look like in their own life based upon their life circumstances, they are welcome to go to the Faith and Health Connection Ministry website, faithandhealthconnection.org, and use the contact page to send me a brief message, and I'll be more than happy to return an email or to place a phone call so that we could have a more complete dialogue about what it looks like to knowing the peace of God.
Oh, wonderful, Dale. I was about to say, audience, begin where you are and reach out. Just reach out. Any believer who you reach out to is going to be willing to help help you to learn. You can take baby steps toward Christ. Okay, you have Dale's contact information, and the slides on the screen has my contact information as well, and I welcome your reaching out. Dale, I'm full of nuggets for my own life, and I believe our audience would share likewise that the way you have described the secret to contentment is moving in the direction of living where the Holy Spirit that resides in us is what's seen, and we are minimized in our frail human state. I love that. I mean, that really gives me a blessing. So thank you. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
As we wind up our time together, oh, we have another caller. As a matter of fact, it's my favorite caller. Caller at 703-877 prefix. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Okay, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, Dale. Hello, good afternoon, Dale.
I think I recognize this must be a gentleman called Spike.
This is he. I was trying to wait for all the, you know, other callers to call in before I called in. I always want to give others an opportunity to join Coach Linda's show and to talk with her and the guests. And I know that time is running, so I said, let me try to get in before the last minute is up. And it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Good to talk with you, Spike.
I am just full of you know, the nuggets that you shared today. As Linda said, some very, very poignant, you know, and insightful nuggets about not only our faith, but our health as well. And one of the things that really hit me was, about 5-6 years after you were diagnosed with prostate cancer, I was also diagnosed with the same. And I had been a health, a fitness guru nut for a long time, you know, as a second career, as a personal fitness trainer for a while. And, you know, I'd been a marathon runner, a fitness aerobics instructor and all of that. And, you know, when I was diagnosed, I remember Linda and I sitting in the doctor's office, the urologist's office that day, and he said to me, yes, you have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. I said, no, not me. And then I realized, you know, when God hit me across the head and said, yeah, this can happen to you too, and I'm going to see how you're going to run this race. I'm going to see how you're going to operate in this test. And, you know, I had to do as you did. I had to lean into God. And you know, it just brought me closer to him. And after a while, you know, I was fine with you know, taking this test and operating in it so that God could see that I could run it well and come out well, because I knew that the victory was won. I just had to run in the test. And I'm hopeful that he was pleased the way that I ran through it and so forth. So thank you for being on the show with Coach Linda today and giving such wonderful nuggets. Another thing that you said when you were talking about your core values that stood out to me, I think as a parent, it is just so wonderful to have your child say to you that I choose to believe that the Bible is true. Oh, man, that is very powerful, a very powerful thing for a parent to hear. Thank you for sharing that with us. And again, God bless you, and we'll be talking to you soon. And blessings to your bride as well.
Thanks, Spike. Thanks so much.
Thank you, hon.
Thank you, Coach Linda. All right, goodbye.
Dale, our time is almost up. I want to just before we close, I'd love to hear maybe just in a short summation, what story do you want your life to tell? I have a hunch from the things that you've shared, but just tell our audience and me, what story do you want your life to tell?
You know, before I even answer, I'm going to say I'm going to paint a picture here. What I'd like it to tell, I'm not saying I'm there, but this is the desire of my heart because I'm a work in progress. I would love for people to look at my life and the story of my life to say, he's a man that loved God. He's a man that desired to live life in a way that brought glory to God. His story of his life demonstrated that he understood that the way to glorify God most would be to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. because then if I do that, then my life will have a lot of fruit in it. It will bring a lot of glory to God. So I hope that the story of my life would show that I loved others in ways that were practical and tangible and made a difference in their life. I hope that the story of my life would show that I responded to the stressors of life in ways that were healthy, in ways that were biblical, in ways, again, that brought honor to God. And maybe the last thing, you know, is, and, you know, I've reflected on the lesson learned with that health challenge that I shared. You know, what I was reminded of is that when our responses have an opportunity to demonstrate a strong belief in God and a trust in God in a way that provides hope and encouragement to others. You know, it's funny that I documented that as one of my bullet points of lessons learned, and the goal of your show here is to provide hope and encouragement to others, to your listeners. And so if I can provide hope and encouragement the way I live my life, then God is glorified through that.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Dale, for being my guest today. It's been a rich blessing just for all that you've shared, how transparent you've been. I pray that this broadcast today will result in someone making inspired choices in their lives. It's just been a blessing.
And it's been a blessing for me to be with you and your listeners. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Before I close today, I just want to say for all of our listeners who are seeking, who are searching for, trying to find contentment, I hope you have some things to work toward today. I hope there are nuggets that you take away that will bring you closer in relationship with our Lord and Savior, where you will have, no matter what circumstance or situation, where you will be able to have true contentment. Ladies out there, I am super excited to say my pilot women's group, which I mentioned in the last broadcast, is ready to go, and it will launch at the end of this month. It's called 6 Steps to Self-Renewal. You will have the opportunity to go through 6 weeks, weekly meetings with me and other women in a small group, where you will be able to not only have coaching, but have the support of the other participants so that you can release your fears, regain your strength, and renew your life. You can sign up or get more information by emailing me at lsj.clc@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you soon. The first 3 women who sign up will get a special treat. Lastly, plan to join me for my next show on May 16th right here at 12 noon, when my guest will be Ms. Rochella Marival, as we honor and celebrate mothers. Until next time, stay blessed.